This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Alden Gonzalez, ESPN, with us here. Alden, how are you? Not that long ago, I was just finding out we were doing an interview today.
Yeah, and here I am.
you've been to a camp at an earlier point this year. You're back at it again. You're looking at this Padre ball club, Jackson Merrill.
Yeah.
Has pretty much locked up that center field position. By the way he's performed at camp, it seems like the Padres are more than willing to let him go out there and see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, I just saw him take Zach Gallen deep to the opposite field. Looked pretty good. Second home run in as many days. Interestingly enough, I talked to a scout at the game today who had been following the Padres around for a while. And I know this sounds like hyperbole, and I don't want to get people like all excited, but he literally told me, he's like, everybody's talking about Jackson Holliday, but Jackson Merrill is the one who looks super locked in right now. He told me that his defense in center field has been fine. He's been fine, passable,
which
you can't expect more than that from a guy who's literally never played the position. But his bat is what's very intriguing. And look, I mean, who knows what will happen when the lights come on? But if you were looking for positive signs from a guy who, based on your depth chart, you need to take on that role, I don't think the Padres could have asked for anything more.
You know, Alden, I've been looking at this Padre club with kind of a crooked glance all spring, just because, you know, they're going to be relying on so many unproven guys when the opening day bell rings. But the more we've seen these guys, I mean, you know, we just talked about Jackson, but Graham Pauly's looked good. Tyler Wade has looked good. And, you know, some of these young guys have really, really performed well, as Ocar. And I started thinking in the last few years, and I think you'd probably have a better handle on this, but it seems to me in the last few years, younger guys are making bigger impacts earlier than they ever have before. And I wonder what you think the reason for that is, and whether you think, you know, the Padres might be okay with a bunch of unproven guys.
Well, I think no organization is more emblematic of trusting young players before other people think they're ready than the Padres. We saw it with Tatis. We saw it with Chris Paddock. I believe it was the same spring. We're seeing that with Jackson Merrill. We might eventually see that with Ethan Salas. Like, they're not shy. I was in Florida before I came out to Arizona, and I hadn't been in the Orioles clubhouse for a while, and I saw Jackson Holliday, and he looked 12 years old to me. Like, I couldn't believe how young he looked, but he plays like a grown-up, and he's going to be the Orioles' everyday second baseman. He might vie for the Rookie of the Year, just like Gunnar Henderson did, and just like Adley Rutschman did before him. I think big picture, and Tony could speak to this, but I just think it is true that guys are ready sooner. I think a lot of that has to do with the resources that are available at the amateur level, even right now. Kids play, and this is a good and a bad thing, but kids play baseball year-round. Parents specialize their kids in baseball at an early age. Like, there are kids in this country are getting, like, very advanced training, going to like really expensive showcases, and they're getting basically built to be ready sooner Some of that's just natural evolution. I've always been one to vouch for kids playing different sports because I just think it's better for development in general. But when you're talking about being ready to play in the big leagues, the kids who are already talented and have resources now that kids even 10 years before them didn't have, yeah, it's going to lead to a lot more 20, 21, 22-year-olds coming up and being ready.
Yeah, it's not just baseball either. Chris, you and I talk about it in football. These guys come into the NFL more ready than ever at the wide receiver position or some of these other skill positions that it used to be they take a little bit of time to develop. You're seeing that really across all sports. Alden Gonzalez joins us here on Gwen and Chris. And Alden, you've been all over the place. You're in Florida. I know you got something coming down the pipeline with a Yankee, and then I know you've been over to the evil empire over there and off of Camelback Mountain over there. They also are incorporating some new talent, some pretty good talent. There seem to have been
you can say that.
There seem to have been some question in terms of Yoshinoba, in terms of him tipping pitches. How did that ever turn out to be anything over there?
It's interesting because I think, and you can correct me if I'm wrong here, Tony, but I think that there's a lot more of an emphasis on looking for pitchers tipping in the United States in Major League Baseball specifically than there might be in Japan. I read some of those comments when that first surfaced with Yamamoto, and I think it was the Dodgers broadcast that picked it up. At this point, I wouldn't be concerned because, like, if you're catching it early like this, to me, it means that it's pretty easily corrected.
Yeah,
and I would think that he will correct that. I think the bigger story with Yamamoto right now is like he's been wowing people on the Dodgers like since the beginning. Like, it's the stuff. Like the way that forcing fastball seems to ride, the darting action on that splitter, like how deceptive it is when he flips this 12-6 curveball at you, like every once in a while, the efficiency of the delivery, like it's stunning that a guy that size, like he is my size, I am not a big person, okay? He has basically what amounts to a slide step. The fact that he can generate that type of velocity with a delivery as efficient as his, that's what I think is the most impressive about Yamamoto so far. I can't wait to see him pitch against Major League competition because Mike Colaifenga with the Mets, I think he's going to be really good right away.
Alden Gonzalez is with us from ESPN talking some baseball here. And Alden, I was absolutely ecstatic to see a Dodger highlight clip yesterday and maybe the day before. But it was a spring training game, and the guy on the other team hit a high pop-up into the infield between shortstop and second base, and Mookie Betts looked at Gavin Lux, and Gavin Lux looked at Mookie Betts, and the ball just dropped right there on the infield, and Dave Roberts was flabbergasted to a certain point in the dugout. My point is, what is going to happen with this Dodger defense? I mean, Gavin Lux was supposed to be shortstop. He's gone to second. Can Mookie really get it done at short? Is that enough to short circuit a little bit of the, you know, the powerhouse that is the Dodgers?
It can be. I mean, look, right now, it's a problem. It's not ideal. The Dodgers went into last season with they were going to give Gavin Lux the runway to be their everyday shortstop. Remember, they passed on Trey Turner, Xander Bogaerts, and Carlos Correa, and on Dansby Swanson, because they were going to give the reins to Gavin Lux. I think what they've shown, though, is they're not messing around this year. Like, they're in it to win a championship this year and nothing else. And you could say that to some extent about every year, but it's different now. You spend more than $1 billion on a couple of free agents. It's different. So the first sign that Gavin Lux was chucking throws and he wasn't accurate, they switched them. And to me, that's very telling. And it's also in some ways a little troubling. Like, look, not to discount anything from Mookie Betts, who's one of the best athletes I've ever seen in my life. You can't just start playing shortstop, though. Like, will he be adequate at short? Sure. Is he going to be great there? I mean, I think it would be unfair to have any expectation like that. And, yeah, there's some very serious concern on the Dodger infield right now. Max Muncy doesn't have the most range. Mookie Betts doesn't have any real experience at shortstop. You told him he was going to be playing second base. you had him prepare to play second base all off season through the early part of spring training. Now all of a sudden, okay, go to shortstop. I do wonder if they're probably trying to add a shortstop.
Yeah.
Would they be hesitant to do that so quickly? Because now you got to tell Mookie Betts again that he's switching to the other position. You don't want to mess with a star player like that. And look, Gavin Lux, like every time Gavin Lux has throwing issues, they bring up like the potential yips. He said he doesn't have the yips. He said he's coming off ACL surgery. He's trying to get his feet under him, and it might be something of a mechanical thing. I can buy that. But I can also see how stuff like this can snowball on players. And so it's kind of a wait-and-see thing. The Dodgers might be so talented that they could overcome that, but it's not great. It's not what they wanted, and like it's kind of a rare instance where like their front office seems to be sort of caught on its heels here a little bit.
Yeah, that doesn't happen often. Alden Gonzalez joins us. Last one for me, Alden. The Padres did trade Juan Soto to the New York Yankees. He's having a monster spring so far. But it does seem like there's some of the old ghosts are still around in that camp. All of a sudden, Gerrit Cole needs an MRI. He's unlikely to pitch an opening day. You got Aaron Judge, who's still dealing with he just had a clean MRI, but he's still dealing with some aches and pains. I mean, is this team going to be able to stay healthy? I mean, I haven't heard anything about Giancarlo. I'm assuming he's been healthy so far this spring. Is this team going to be able to stay healthy? That seems to be the thing that bites them every single season.
And it's a legitimate concern, Tony, because when you're talking about just sort of like the ages of the players that they're relying so heavily on, what more troubling news could there be at this state of camp that Gerrit Cole, who is their first, second, and third best starting pitcher in that rotation, is now, there's some concerns there. And Aaron Judge, too. I mean, don't forget that the makeup of this team going into the season, because you need to give Giancarlo Stanton all that DH time because you're paying him so much money, had Aaron Judge playing center field.
You're right.
They needed Aaron Judge to be a quasi-everyday center fielder for them in order to make it work with Verdugo and Soto and Stanton in the same lineup, which is their preference on most days. Aaron Judge, by the way, coming off turf toe, coming off that toe injury when he banged up against the wall at Dodger Stadium. Aaron Judge, the most important member of your lineup. He's what, 32 years old right now? Like, that's kind of a precarious position. And, like, he might end up being fine. But I think the news out of Yankee camp lets you know that for all the expectations they're carrying into this season, that people legitimately felt really good about their roster coming in, they are it's just so fragile. Because if Gerrit Cole has to miss time, if Aaron Judge has to miss time, and you saw what their lineup looked like without Aaron Judge for such a time last year, it could all fall apart for them. It really could.
Real quick, Alden, I think we have a minute or so left, but is it possible that in the end, the Padres got so much pitching that they could almost win or even break even in the Juan Soto trade?
It is possible. I like the arms that they got. I think they feel good about the arms that they got. They're not going to win the Juan Soto trade in 2024. I can tell you that. If Juan Soto stays healthy, I expect him to contend for the MVP. And for as promising as the arms are in the Padres, for the Padres that the Padres got back, I have concerns about their rotation. I have concerns about who's going to lock down innings for them in 2024. You can't expect all those guys to be ready to make the jump to a big league rotation full time. They need starting pitching. But having said that, they did what they needed to do. If they weren't going to re-sign Juan Soto, they can't fit him in their payroll. If he wasn't going to be willing to stay in San Diego anyway, and they needed to get to their payroll to a certain point, and they had all these starting pitching holes that they needed to fill, I think if you evaluate it from that context, they did just fine. But in the immediate, it's going to hurt. And it's going to hurt every time you see Juan Soto winning player of the month or whatever he's going to do in a Yankee uniform this year.
Yep, no doubt about it. There may be some growing pains, but in the end, I think the Padres did what they had to do. Alden, appreciate you coming on, man.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.